All right, praise the Lord. I'm talking about peace today. And I want to reiterate for those that were not here when Sean opened the service, what would give me great peace is if you do not tell me the score of the World Cup final today. Okay, if you want to rob my peace, just go ahead and spout off. Otherwise, let me enjoy it, and we'll do that. We've talked about the four elements of Advent. We started with hope after Thanksgiving, and then love, and then joy last week, and now peace. And I want to read you two scriptures. Follow along with me either in your Bibles or on the screens. First is Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2 and verse 6 and 7. It reads this way. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. And on those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Then we jump to Luke chapter 2, verse 8 to 14. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests." Lord Jesus, I pray that we would find peace today. Lord, rather, we would receive your peace today. For you truly have already given it. You have already provided for peace. And Lord, I pray that today we would open our minds to truth and close our minds to any lies that would rob us from your wonderful, beautiful, eternal peace. We praise you in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. What a joyous season it is to celebrate the one thing that money can't buy. The one thing that fame can't provide. The one thing that even family or marriage or, you know, the birth of children or self-improvement or a good, stable job, even going to church can't provide this. We celebrate the coming of the promised one, the only one that can bring this priceless treasure. He is Jesus. He is our peace. Peace, that's what we crave. We want more because we think more will bring peace. It won't. We want better because we think better will bring peace, but it won't. We want bigger because we think bigger will bring peace. It won't. We want that someone in our life because we think that someone will bring peace to our life. They won't. Because none of those things can. They're not all bad. Of course, having a mate or having children or having a good stable job or having a roof over your head, they're all good things. But if we're looking for those things to be our peace, they'll disappoint you. What is peace? In the Hebrew, it's shalom, well-being, everything as it should be. In the Greek, means free from worry and a reconciliation. When Jesus was born, it was providing a reconciliation between God and man that had been broken because of our sin. The Isaiah passage I read is about who God is and who Jesus is and what he'll do. The Luke passage is the celebration that what Isaiah said was going to happen, happened. The Christ was born and he's still with us today. The Isaiah passage said that people are walking in darkness and they're living in a land of deep darkness. Can anybody relate to that today? Isaiah said those words about 2,800 years ago. But it's no different because the the mentality, the spirituality of mankind always, always, always looks for peace in other places and misses God. And we end up walking in that deep darkness. In the 60s, I was born in the early 60s, and so I don't really remember a lot of the culture, but the effects followed into the next decades. You might remember, if you're old enough, that people in the 60s would say things like, yeah, I'm gonna go to San Francisco to try to find myself. I want to find myself. And maybe the words are a little different today, but in today, the darkness has gotten darker, if that's possible. Today, you're not trying to define or to find yourself. People are trying to define themselves. Back then it was, I want to find out who I am. Today, people don't even know what they are. They look in a mirror and the face seems female, but in the heart they feel male, or vice versa, or whatever other kind of deviancy there is. Jesus said, if the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? And today, if the darkness is that, it's a deeper darkness than even Isaiah prophesied about. But there is a light dawning. There is a light that came amidst that deep darkness. The beauty for us today in our time is that it's not as if he just showed up now. Oh no, he came 2,000 years ago. That's why we celebrate. That the one who came in that deep darkness, in and for people walking that way, in that confusion, in that muddle, in that just place where just darkness owns them, Jesus came to break that. He came to sever it. He came to flip on the light switch. And a child was born. The Son of Man was given. Who is he? What's he going to do? Isaiah tells us. And church, this is really, really good news. Listen to these words again from the prophet Isaiah. He says, the government will be on his shoulders. Aren't you glad that there's a government coming that's not like the government today? And I don't even mean just the U.S. government. Travel the world a little bit and find out what governments are like. They're all no good because they're run by people who are living in darkness. It's not possible to have a righteous and a justice in government when people are involved with it. But Jesus Christ is going to be a new governor. Amen? Where there are no parties, there are no more elections, no one gets to choose that Jesus will sit on the throne. Jesus has already chosen he's going to sit on the throne. And the government of the world, not a nation, not a sect, not a little subgroup somewhere, there will be a global government, but it's not going to be man's global government. It's God's. And God is going to rule. He'll rule on this earth, the scripture says. Read Matthew chapter 19. Our Lord God is going to chase away the darkness, and he's going to rule. So I know we get crazy. I do. When I see stuff in politics, we all do at times, and I have to catch myself in the midst of frustration. In the midst of what in the world are they doing? What were they thinking with that decision? Regardless of party, I have to check myself and say, oh, wait a minute, God, you're the one who's on the throne. You may not see him on the throne today. You may not always perceive him. You may not always be aware that God is on the throne. But can I just tell you what's true right now? No matter what governments do around the world, God is on the throne. He is the one that's sitting in the big chair. And everything is happening just as he determines that it should happen. We worry about, oh, the world's gone crazy. Things are nuts. Well, do we read our Bibles? Read Matthew 24. Read the things in 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians. Read the Revelation. God already told us these things are going to happen. So why are we surprised? Why do we get like, oh, didn't see that coming? And God goes, the book. You've had it for 2,000 years now. It's all in there. Oh, I didn't know. I told you. I wasn't aware. It was there. Even now, I'm not sure you're aware, there's a man in Israel right now being chased after by even the most orthodox of rabbis, even claiming to have done mighty miracles. And they're actually starting to have a murmur in Israel today that this might be the Messiah. And Jesus is saying, Matthew 24, many will come claiming to be the Christ. Don't believe them, because they'll be deceivers. God already told his church, the government will be on his shoulders. It says that he will be a wonderful counselor. Don't you need a wonderful counselor today? I need a wonderful counselor, because my brain doesn't always do what my brain should do. I often get sidetracked and think I'm doing the right thing and I'm not doing the right thing. And I go to God and I inquire of God and I realize he had a different plan, a different way. We need a wonderful counselor today. Someone who knows where to go. Someone who knows how to do it. Someone who knows what's tomorrow. He is that. And he's here. Because the angels proclaimed that that one was born in Bethlehem that day. He's a mighty God. God, are you strong enough? God, if you're that powerful, then where are you? How come you're not changing things? How come you're not, you know, squelching these things that are hurting people, killing people? God, I'm losing my mind, God. Are you strong enough? And God says, trust me, I'm strong enough. I said a word and everything that is came into being. He's a mighty God. But he has a plan. He knows exactly what he's doing. He knows exactly when he's doing it. He knows exactly how he's going to do it. And he's given us all of that already in his precious word. He'll be an everlasting father. I love the transition from mighty God to everlasting father. Because a mighty God scares me. I don't know about you. Mighty God in the Old Testament is open up the earth and swallow you. That's mighty God to me. Mighty God is the fire comes rushing through and consumes. Mighty God opens the water for some people, but then closes the water on other people. I don't know about you. I'm a little uncomfortable with mighty God by himself. But I got a mighty God who's my everlasting father. Oh, that makes me love him now. He's a strong God and he's my dad. He's the most powerful creator. He's the most awesome, sovereign, omnipotent being. And he's my dad. He's got me. He's got my back. He's got my front. He's got my sides. He's got me covered. He's got me in his grip. That's my dad. My Abba. He's our everlasting father. And he's everlasting. He's not going to disappear. He's not going away. He's not leaving you. He's not got other business out of town. He's not going to abandon you. A lot of you can relate to earthly fathers who do things that our everlasting father is not going to do. He's always going to be there. He's everlasting. And oh, then we get to the one that we're talking about today. He's the Prince of Peace. There it is. Of all those things, the government on his shoulders, wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting father, Prince of Peace. I find it fascinating the way God uses words. He didn't say Prince of Joy, although we need joy. He didn't say Prince of Love. We need love. He didn't say Prince of Faithfulness. All the things we've already talked about a lot today. Great words, powerful, all things that God is. But for whatever reason, when talking about the Son coming to the earth in Bethlehem that day, the prophet foretold he'd be a Prince of Peace. We need peace. We need it. We're desperate for it. But we have governments for now trying to provide peace. Never works. There's always a new war, a new conflict, a new something. What are counselors for? To figure out life for us? We desire mighty fathers who will never leave us, but on earth they always seem to, you know, we just aren't perfect. But he's going to be all those things. Then 800 years later, the shepherds were out in the fields. And as they slept, angels woke them up with a bright light, scaring the daylights out of those poor people. Think about it for a minute and just think of yourself out camping. And they lived out there. And then suddenly this light that shines the sky, it turned night into noon. They were terrified. They knew it. Mary and Joseph knew it. The Magi knew it. The devout Simeon and Anna in the temple, they knew it. Herod, he knew it, so he tried to kill all the kids. But the angel said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Angels are always saying that. Jesus is always saying that. What is it about the supernatural that scares us so much? Anything that's different, that's beyond us, that's, whoa, didn't see that before, scares us. They say, it's okay. You know, I want to be like that. I want to be like the angels and be comfortable with the supernatural. When God does something really, really outside the bounds of our little blinder wearing journey, the things that happen outside of that, that we don't go, no, I got to get back to my little comfort because this is where I'm comfortable. God says, no, get out of that. There's so much more. And be okay with it. I want to be that kind of a person. He said they're bringing good news that will bring great joy. What is the news that will bring them great joy? The Prince of Peace is born. That's what? The one who's going to bring you peace, he's come. And he doesn't look like you think. He looks like a baby. That's what he looks like. And he does all the things that babies do. You mean, well, he's God, right? He's God. And he's going to come as the Messiah, the King, and he's going to take over, and it's going to be all great, and then he was a baby. And we write songs about this little baby, away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus, asleep, and I forget the rhyming part of the end of that song. And it talks about no crying he makes. But can I guarantee you one thing? Crying he made. He made crying in the manger. He wasn't this little cherub sitting there with a halo around his head, and Mary didn't have a halo, and Joseph didn't have a halo, and the donkeys didn't have halos between their ears, and there were no halos there. And crying he made, and everything else that babies make, he made. We got this picture, this perfect little one. Imagine what the disciples thought. They were struggling with this Messiah who looked like them, acted like them, did things that they did. And they're out there in the fields with Jesus as they're journeying through, and they're all asleep around the campfire. And I can imagine Peter waking up and going, oh, the Messiah. And he looks over at Jesus, and Jesus is laying down with drool coming out of his mouth, snoring like a hog. And he's thinking, Messiah? No. And then he multiplies the loaves and the fish. Messiah? Yeah. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Such a weird juxtaposition, isn't it? The Prince of Peace has come. There's no God, there's no peace. There just isn't. I want to ask us this question. Why then, knowing that this is who God is, the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the one on whom the governments will rest, why, if he is that, do we still worry? Why do we still fret and live anxiously? Why do we still wander in the confusion of the darkness when the light has come? I ask myself that question all the time. What am I doing? Why am I acting this way? Or like the Psalm says, 41 and 42, why are you so downcast, O my soul? Why are you doing that? Hasn't the King come? Well, because hard times come. But I thought, disaster strike. But I thought, death takes some. But I thought, God didn't come to take away all bad circumstances. God came to change our lives. God didn't come to make us comfortable. God came to make us like him. And he'll do whatever he's got to do to make us that way. We'll lack peace, church, if we succumb to anxiety and worry, stress and fear and shame and guilt, we're going to lack peace. Doesn't matter what season it is. If we live in that, our peace will be gone. But let me just give you some truths. Truth number one, you can't avoid stressful situations or anxious or fearful or hard situations. You can't avoid them. They're going to happen. I didn't ask for COVID. I hate COVID. I had it twice last year. I didn't ask for it. Make me grouchy. But in my mind, I had to ask the Lord, Lord, okay, I'm sick. So what do you want me to do? What do you want me to know? We're so thankful that Chloe and Keith are getting back on their feet, but a month ago, they didn't ask for a fire to destroy their house. God, why? Because God's doing something. When we ask for patience, God will do things that will create patience. When we ask for faithfulness, sometimes that can only come through tough stuff. When we ask for love, then God will bring us into situations with people that are hard to love. We want to forgive like Jesus forgives, well then somebody's going to offend you. If our goal is to have perfect circumstances, we're going to die without peace. But if our goal is to be like Him, we'll learn peace even through the hard stuff. Truth two, when we're stressed, you can choose to give in to the anxiety and worry, or you can trust God. You got a choice. Truth three, if you choose to worry and embrace anxiety, you will forfeit peace. It's going to happen. But truth four, if you choose to trust God, you will find peace. Because if you know God, you'll know peace. So the last couple of moments I have, I want to give you just three quick words of encouragement and a little training on how to maintain your peace. Jesus came to give it. Will we receive it? Jesus has already provided for it because of His life and His death on the cross and His resurrection and the sending of His Holy Spirit. He's done everything He can do to provide peace for us. It's whether or not we will receive that and then walk in the ways of the Lord so we can maintain that. Number one, talk to God and trust what He tells you. How simple is that? How basic and just like wow is that? But can I just tell you, if we don't talk to God and then do what He says, we might as well forget everything else, because nothing else will work without that foundation. That is the foundation. It's the simplest of simple truths, but it's the most powerful of the simple truths. Talk to God and do what He says. Jesus says, I don't demand sacrifice, I demand obedience. Obey me. Not because I demand to be obeyed, but because it's going to work for you. That's what works. Talk to Him and do what He says. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Don't be anxious about anything. Come on, you know it. Read it with me. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. That's the Philippians 4, 6 fix. And it works. Every time. It doesn't work because it's a verse. It works because it's Jesus' word. This is how it works. Don't be anxious, but talk to me. Talk to me. Talk to me with thanksgiving. Bring your stuff to me, but come to me thankful. Lord, I'm thankful that this really cruddy thing happened. And I don't know why You allowed it, but I know if You allowed it, then I can be thankful for it because You're going to do something in my life. Instead of, God, this is happening, I hate it, I'm upset, I'm mad, I'm discouraged, I don't know where You are, I don't know what You're going to do. One brings peace, the other does not. There's a way to have peace in the midst of the hardest. Talk to Him with thankfulness and do what He says. It's that simple. A lot of us want to talk to Him, but then we don't listen to what He says. Okay, Lord, here's how I've got it all lined up. Here's how I've got it all laid out. Here's how I want You to do it. This is what makes sense to me. Okay, You got my order. Thank You very much. Here's my credit card. Bye. And we do that to Him all the time. And then when he doesn't do what we've ordered, we get mad and we want to see the next highest manager. God, I'm going to go try something else then. Because you didn't do it the way I wanted you to do it. He says, well, if you did it my way, you'd have peace. Peace is real. Some of us even worried about the condition of the church. Oh, we're under attack. Oh, it's persecution. Oh, we're really, really persecuted. We might have our tax-exempt status revoked. I wonder how those burned at the stake would feel about that sentiment today. Or those fed to lions. Or those crucified, like Jesus was crucified. I'm pretty sure none of us have really been persecuted. Oh, in parts of the world today, there is real. It's real. Here in our country, pretty soft. Folks, the church is not under attack. Jesus Christ is the one who's the government, sits on his shoulders. The church is not going to fail. But you know what is under attack? Comfortable Christianity. That is under attack. And if we think comfortable Christianity is the only way to live Christianity, we're going to lose our peace. We're going to lose it. Because Jesus did not come to make us comfortable. Jesus came to conform us to his likeness. Talk to God, the one in whom the angels announced. Tell him how you feel. Tell him. Be honest with him. When the Bible says confess your sins, it means confess everything, not just your sins. Just talk to him. Confess. God, I'm mad right now. God, you know what? God is more comfortable with you saying, God, I'm mad right now, than pretending you're not mad to somehow impress him. Have you ever read the Psalms? Read some of those Psalms. King David is writing songs to God saying, I wish you would crush their heads on stones. Doesn't sound very spiritual to me. But you know what he was doing? He was being honest with the way he felt. You can go to God and be honest, and God's not going to go, oh, I never. Oh, how could you? Never thought that was, wow. He already knows what you're thinking before you said it. Talk to him. If you're afraid, tell him. If you're worried, tell him. If you're mad, tell him. If your desires are running away with you, tell him. Because he says, don't be anxious, but go and talk to him with thanksgiving. And then the peace of God will come. Ask him. Talk to him. Number two, what is true about how God thinks of you? Dwell on that. Some of us think that God is upset. He's mad. He's disappointed. He's frustrated with you. And when that happens, we lose our peace because we're listening to a lie. God is none of those things. And he's not thinking those things about you. Isaiah 26:3 says, he will keep you in perfect peace, he whose mind is stayed on him. There's two pieces to that. Our part is keep your mind stayed on him. The other part is he will keep you in peace. He'll do the peace part. You do the keep your mind on him part. And keeping your mind on him is keeping your mind on what he thinks about you. Not just what he wants you to do. Not just him telling you where to go and how to do it. But how he thinks about you. He's not frustrated with you. He's not disgusted with you. He's not unimpressed with you. You are important to him. He's not eager to punish you. He's not unable to save. He's not absent from you. He's not bitter against you. He's not unaware of you. All those things are lies. They're just not true. And we believe them. And as I read that list that I just spoke to you, I felt those things throughout my life multiple times about, oh, God must really be mad. He must really be frustrated. He must really be done with me. I've sinned way too many times. He's finished. He's going to go work with somebody else. And all of that is just false. And with that false thinking goes my peace. But when I hear my everlasting Father, the waymaker, the miracle worker, the promise keeper, the light in the darkness, the way, the truth and the life, the gate, the true vine, the bread of life, the resurrection and the life, the door, the living way, the word. That's the one who loves me. And that's the one who loves you too. We've got to dwell on what is true and not listen to the false, or else your peace will go right out the door. He will keep you in peace if you just keep your mind stayed there. And number three, are God's promises true? Choose to believe them instead of the worldly lies. We lie to ourselves and the world lies to us too. John 14:27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. So don't let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." That's a loaded passage. I'm leaving you peace. I'm giving you peace. But it's different than what you think. So therefore, since my peace is different and it comes different, when troubles come, don't let your heart be troubled. It's really the exact same thing that Paul wrote in Philippians 4:6. My peace is not the way the world gives. It's not going to come through all the things that the world promises. They can't promise. They can't fulfill that. Instead, he said, "I've told you these things," John 14:33, "so that in me you will have peace." Where do you have peace? In him you'll have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart. I've overcome the world. What do? When the world brings us trouble, what do? We take heart. What does that mean, take heart? It means take charge of your heart. It means don't let your heart run crazy on you. In the heart, we're talking about our emotions, our feelings, our will, all those things that wants to run. It wants to go to frustration. It wants to go to fear. It wants to go to shame. It wants to go to guilt. It wants to go to worry. It wants to go to confusion. It wants to go to aggravation. It wants to go to blaming. It wants to go to victim mentality. Our heart wants to run all over those places. And Jesus said, when you start to feel that, take heart. No, heart, you're not going to do that. Heart, you're not going to think that way. Heart, I'm going to take you. And I'm not going to let you run crazy on me. Heart, I know where you want to go, but the Bible says I can't trust you. The Bible says the heart is deceitful amongst all the parts of the body. Who can know it? Heart, you confuse me sometimes because you want to go some places where you shouldn't go. And I'm tempted to follow that. Heart, I'm not going to listen. I'm going to listen to God's word. Can anybody relate to that? My heart is goofed. What's wrong with you? But all of our hearts are the same way. Take heart. Take it. Don't trust it. Master it, because Jesus has overcome the world. God doesn't want to change our circumstances. He wants to change us. And when we allow Jesus to do that, we can have peace. We have a wonderful counselor, a mighty God, an everlasting Father, a Prince of Peace. And if we'll just talk to him and then listen and do what he says, if we'll dwell on who he is and how much he loves us, if we stand rooted in his promises, not on the lies of this world, you know what you'll have? Peace. Because it's already here. It's already here. Because Jesus has already been born. That's why we celebrate. As we pray this morning, it's a prayer that you might pray. A prayer that will bring you peace. Especially if you don't yet know the Lord as your Savior. A prayer that might sound something like this: "Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. I've searched for peace in my life but have not found it. Because you love me, I believe that you died for my sins to give me peace. I want to turn from my past, turn toward you, believe what is true, and I come invite you into my heart. I want to trust you as my Prince of Peace." You might pray that this morning. Or maybe you already know the Lord. You already know your Prince of Peace, but you've allowed your heart to run crazy. You've allowed your heart to go places it shouldn't go. Today's a day to take heart. Today's a day with thanksgiving, make our requests known to God. Let his peace guard your heart and mind. Today's a day to embrace the peace that he has left us, the peace that he has given us. already here. You just need to receive that. And you might just pray a prayer that's a little different than the one who doesn't know Him. You might just pray with honesty, God, my heart's been all over the place. I've been believing things that aren't true about who you are and about who I am. Today I choose to listen to your truth, to receive your peace. No matter if the times are hard, I know that I won't be anxious, but I'll trust you, and the peace that surpasses understanding will guard me. And you will keep me in perfect peace. Pray one of those two prayers this morning. Let's leave this place in peace, thankful, and head into next Sunday as we come to worship on the day our Lord, or on the day we celebrate our Lord's birth. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for each one here. And I ask you, Jesus, for your perfect peace to just rest on every heart. Now, I know, Lord, that we have to receive that. I can pray it for myself. I can pray it for each one of these and those online. But God, my prayer really will fall short if each one still chooses to embrace the anxieties of life, and the worries of life, and the fears of life instead of what you said is true. God, help us to embrace your truth and your peace, lest we let worries and fears steal life from us. How many hours and days and months and years have we forfeited to the worries of this world when your peace was there all along? God, I pray in Jesus' name that you'd help us, each one. Thank you for this morning, Lord. Sunday before, the day we'll celebrate. I pray that we'll be able to celebrate with peace. Because we know you. We have peace with you, peace with others, peace with ourselves. We open our hearts to you, God, in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Just a moment, we're going to dismiss, but have our time of lingering as we do. Elders will be at each corner of the front of the sanctuary. And I challenge you to be vulnerable in coming to some of the elders. That those expressions of honesty to God often works better in community. The book of James says, confess one to another. So it's good. You don't want to tell all of your dirty, all your skeletons. You don't have to do that. I'm just saying, when we come and are honest with each other, with our struggles, in community, God has a way to do things that are really special. If you pray to receive Jesus this morning, then also see one of the elders, and they'll guide you through what your next step should be. Look forward to having a good party tonight. Are you? I am. You guys are good cooks. I love when we have parties here to get to eat your food. So we're going to enjoy that. But let's linger and just ask God to fill us with His peace. If you've got to go, consider yourselves dismissed. And go with God's goodness and His grace. Otherwise, if you're going to stay and linger, do that. Either way, you are loved. You are God's delight. Believe that this week and live in His peace. Thank you.
Oh my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness, on your faithfulness. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh rock of ages, standing on your faithfulness, on your faithfulness, on your faithfulness.
Father, Lord, we thank you, God, that you are here. I pray, Father, that as we go today, that we would choose to believe your truth. That our way forward today would be in your peace. That you would see the joy coming through our lives. And the peace that surpasses all understanding, Father, I pray, would guard our hearts and minds. In Jesus, your name, we pray. Amen.